My voice is going, so this might be a shorter Sunday school. We might sing a bit more then. We have a couple more spots in the front here. Anyone else wants to join the front row, you are welcome. If your parents let you. If not, you can sit back with your parents. That's okay. I like to look at people when I talk to them, so if you're in the front, I can see you. Thank you. All right, so who has... Oh, by the way, my name is E.T. E.T. Or you can call me Etienne. Or if you can't say that, Steve works too. So... If you'd like to give a raise your hand, but I'm going to give out a song from the Echoes of Grace hymn sheet. Yes. And then you can just tell me your name as you... What's your name?
Caleb.
Caleb, and then you'll give out your song. Perfect. Caleb, thank you. What number?
46.
Can a brother help me start number 46?
Y-T-R-E-I-N-G-S, Y-T-R-I-N-G.
Thank you, Caleb. Anybody else? Yes.
47.
47. And what's your name?
Hannah.
Hannah. Number 47 from Hannah.
When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still.
Child come in at the end of verse 2. Now, how young can you be except the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? You don't have an idea? Is there an age that's too young?
No.
No? That's true. Well, let's take number 42, because number 42 gives us a good little answer to this question, okay? Number 42.
A little child of seven or even three or four may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ the Son of
about a young girl, and it's a real account found in the Bible. It's a historical event. It's not just a story. It's a story from the Bible, but it actually happened. So it's something that's true. And this young girl, she was young. The Bible says, in the King James, it says she was a little maid. I'm not sure how old that is, but she was young. But she was used of the Lord. And so we're going to talk about the story of Naaman today, and how the young girl helped Naaman get better. Before we start, we're going to sing. We have time for at least one more song. So anyone else have a song you want to sing?
Yeah.
Number 13.
Man of sorrows,
what a name for a son. Thank you.
sitting just one more. We've got time for one more. Yeah?
Number 10.
Number 10. What's your name?
Taylor.
Number 10. Let's sing verse 1, 3, and 4. And number 10.
There is a Savior. To those who know thee as Savior, and could be just in a time when a sinner turns from darkness to light. We commit these things in thy worthy name, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so if you have a Bible here, we'll turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. And I know some of you have strong voices, so I'm going to need some help to read some verses. We're going to talk about the story of Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5. We have a courageous volunteer to read verse 1. Oh, back row, yep. Verse 1.
Now there was a captain of a host of people of Assyria, and a great man in his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance of Assyria. He was also a mighty man in valor, and he was a leper.
Okay, so Naaman. Now, Naaman, that's a name we don't hear about too well now, these days. Does anyone have a friend called Naaman? No. We don't really use that word anymore. But it says Naaman was a captain. Now, what's a captain? Like the captain of a hockey team? No? What's a captain? Raise your hand if you know what it means here about being is he was a captain. Yeah?
It means that you're in charge of the boat.
Of the boat? Yeah, that's a ship captain. That's a very good answer. Now, there's another word for captain. Another definition. Who knows? Back row again. Yeah.
Leader of the army.
So was this man powerful, or was he like your regular guy? This guy was the captain of the army, so he was pretty powerful. He was right up there with the king. He was almost like, I was going to say the vice president. Okay. Although you guys don't have this in Canada. He was high up there. He was high up there in the political scheme, and he was a general, and he was a powerful man. But at the end of the verse, it says he was a leper. Now, what's a leper? Mr. Kemp, you've met some lepers in Malawi? Have you?
Other places, too.
So what is a leper? What characterizes a leper?
Well, one thing, they're outside the camp. They're despised by everyone. They're unclean. They're dirty. An awful disease that cannot be cured.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. They have a disease that, I'm not in the medical field, but your extremities, like your fingers and toes, they stop having feeling in them. And so whenever you hurt, so you bang your hand on the desk and you start bleeding, you won't even feel it. So what happens is you start having infections. That's maybe part of the answer, but it's a serious disease that cannot be cured. And like Mr. Kemp was saying, if you're a leper today, you're not allowed in this room. You have to live in like your little colony. But you can hide it for a while because you have these sores on your body. So what Naaman did, let's say he had a sore right here. He'd roll his shirt down and he'd pretend no one knew. So Naaman was a powerful man. He was a general, but he was a leper. So he had all this power, all this wealth, but he had this problem that was going to kill him, that would eventually lead to his death. And he wanted to be healed. You know, leprosy is, it reminds me of what sin is. You know, sin, you can hide it for a while. If I'm a sinner, and I'm doing something wrong, let's say my mom said, don't take an extra cookie from the cookie jar. I've done that. You take an extra one, maybe you eat it, no one knew about it. No one knows these sins. No one knows maybe if your parents said, don't do this or don't do that, or don't go this place or don't go that place. But if you do it, you might be sinning, but no one else knows about it. It could be a secret between you. Well, God knows. God sees everything. God sees those secrets. He sees those things that we do. And so Naaman was a powerful man, and he actually won a lot of victories for the people of Syria. Now, the people of Syria, they weren't friends with the Israelites. Like, they wouldn't go and, like, shake each other's hand. No, they'd fight, and they'd kill each other. And so one day, Naaman and his army, they just show up in Israel, and they go and kidnap this young girl. They probably, I don't know what happened, it doesn't say, but they probably killed her family. They probably, you know, tore up her town, took all her toys, took everything away from her, and they just said, you're coming with me. So let's imagine we're taking this young girl right here. Come here, please. We're kidnapping you. Sorry, parents. But you're going to have to sit right here. Can I have this chair? Have a seat here. And so you're no longer... Your name again?
Lauren.
You're no longer Lauren. You're no longer... I'm going to give you guys a new name. You're going to have to go... Now, instead of playing with your friends after school, playing on your iPod or your computer, whatever gadget you have, you're going to work. You're going to serve Naaman's wife. And so would you be happy about that? Now, do you think this young girl was happy or sad?
Sad.
So she was taken from her hometown. She's taken from everything she loves. And she says, all right, you're going to come live here and work for your enemy. But In verse 2, we're going to read verse 2. Who can read verse 2? Yeah, go ahead.
And he gone as their company, and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife.
And so this young girl, she heard that Naaman was a leper. And if I was in that situation, I may have said, serves that guy right. Look what he did to my family. Look what he did to my people. He took all my toys away. He took all my stuff away. He took all my Sunday clothes away. Yeah, that's not cool. Yeah, serves him right to be sick. I hope he dies. But no, this young girl, she did something else. She had compassion on Naaman. And she says something in verse 3. So could someone else read verse 3? Yeah, read verse 3 for us.
And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria.
That's good.
Good, yep. Okay. For he would recover him of his leprosy. So she says, if only Naaman, she tells this to the lady, if only Naaman could meet this prophet, he could be better. Now this girl had a forgiving spirit. You can go sit down, thank you. She had a forgiving spirit. She said, I'm not going to be bitter against for my circumstances. I'm not going to be holding this against my new master here who's kidnapped me. I'm going to seek his best interest. You know, this young girl, she was a missionary. She was serving the Lord where the Lord put her. In that little town, doing her job. You know, we talk about people that do mission work, missionary work. Mr. Kemp travels around the world, going to different places. I've been to some places myself. But you know, we're all servants of God. In one way or another, whether you're at home at school, doing your chores, or you're working a job, we're all called to serve the Lord. And we all can be witnesses where the Lord has put us. So you can be serving the Lord if you're at home, doing your homework, helping your family. That's just as, in the Lord's eyes, that's just as important. Because, you know, the man looks at the outward appearance, God looks at the heart. God is looking at everyone's heart. And this young lady here, this young girl, this young maid, she was doing what the Lord had her to do. She was serving God in her little corner. And she was being a blessing to other people. Now let's keep going, okay? Let's turn into... Now let's just move on the story a little bit here for sake of time. So Naaman's wife told Naaman, and then Naaman says, all right, I'm going to go and see the king. So the king of Syria says, gives him a letter, okay? So I'm going to read verse 5. And the king of Syria said, Go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed with him and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar. I don't know what this is worth, but I'm assuming this is worth quite a bit of money. So he took a whole bunch of money, a whole bunch of clothes, and he says, we're going to go, and I'm going to try to pay my way to get clean. Now, who here came here by car today? Oh, everybody came by car. Good. Okay. Now, who here lives in a place not in this local assembly? Okay, so you guys all took a road trip, right, to get here? Well, Naaman took a road trip to go to Israel to get healed. Now, what did he pack? He packed a whole bunch of stuff. Whenever you go on a road trip, Matt, what do you pack?
Clothes.
Clothes? What do you pack?
Food.
Food, that's important. What do you bring anything special on the trip?
Toys,
that's important too. Anybody else bring anything? Yeah. Not sure?
Toys,
yeah, yeah.
Sometimes some more clothes.
Some more clothes. Yeah, you need your clothes, right? And so they had all these things that were ready. So Naaman's like, I've got all my stuff ready. I got all my. I'm gonna bring some soldiers. We're gonna go, and I'm gonna get healed. Because Naaman, he was a go-getter. He's like, you know what? I have something that needs to get done. I'm gonna get healed. Because if I don't get healed, what's gonna happen?
Die.
He's gonna die. And so he was still hiding his leprosy. It was still a secret. Because he didn't want anyone else to know. So he heads over to Israel. Now, he goes and sees the king of Israel and says, look, I'm here to get healed. Now the king of Israel is like, I can't do this. I can't heal you. Let's turn down here. And the king of, verse 7. It came to pass, when the king of Israel read the letter, he rent his clothes and said, Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore I consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me. The king says, the king of Israel now, says, I can't heal this man. This guy showed up with his road trip with all this stuff, and he wants to pay me to heal something that I can't do. You know, if you have all the money in the world, you can't heal someone from this disease. If you went to a doctor and said, I'll give you all the money in the world if you can heal me of this leprosy, doctor says, I can't do it. I'm not God, I can't heal. And so this king was saying, oh, this Syrian king, he just wants to cause trouble with me again. So he was very distraught. Now, but then Elisha shows up. Elisha, who knows who Elisha was? Yeah.
He's a prophet.
He's a prophet. What's a prophet? A prophet, is that money you make at the end of the day? You made a profit? No? What's a prophet? A prophet was a man of God. A man that had the word of God, was basically, the Lord used him to speak certain things. So we're going to read verse 8, okay, of the man of God, the prophet. Who wants to read? Ethan, can you read verse 8, please, for us?
And it was so when Elisha the man of God, that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.
Okay, verse 9.
So Naaman came with his horses and with his chariot, and stood at the door of the house of Elisha.
Okay, so now there's a breakthrough here. The king was really worried. He ripped his clothes. He ripped his Sunday clothes, tore up his tie. He's like, you know what? I can't do it. And he was really worried. But then a message came. And so he goes, and Naaman gets sent over to Elisha's house. So Elisha, so imagine this. Imagine this is the house. All right? And Elisha is here. So basically, imagine it's filled with soldiers and filled with the chariots and all the men. And Naaman's like, all right, I'm here to get healed. Now, if you have a very important guest coming to your house, and I know some of your kids, whenever you know you have a friend coming for the conference or something, what do your parents say? You got to clean the house, right? You got to get everything ready and put on your best clothes or be in your best behavior and don't fight and everyone get along, right? In our house, that's the way it was, too. And you have to make sure everything is ready for the important guest. Well, this guest arrives, but Elisha doesn't even go and see him. He sends a message to him. And verse 10, Elisha sent a message unto him, Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. You know, Naaman was used, he was a general. He ordered, hey you, pick up that water bottle. You'd do it right away, or you get in trouble. Hey you, shine my shoes. He'd right away shine. You go kill that guy, you'd kill him right away. So now, he's like, alright, I'm here to get healed. No one comes. Knocks on the door, no one's coming out. Who does this guy think he is? I'm the general here. I'm a big guy. And no one wants to come and... You just want to heal me. He sends a message. Now imagine if you went to a doctor and you were really sick, and he sends you a text message to tell you what to do. How would you feel about that? You'd be like, is this guy for real? Is he serious? A doctor, you're supposed to... You know, you meet me and you examine and you, like, you figure out what's wrong with me. And then you tell me what to do. But Elisha doesn't even come out. What? All right. So, you guys think Naaman was happy or sad?
Sad.
He was worse than that. He wasn't just sad. He was mad. Now, verse 11. Naaman was wroth and went away and said, Behold, I thought, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord, his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He was expecting it to be done his way. Naaman was saying, Look, I want this done my way. I don't want to go swim in this dirty Jordan River. Have you guys ever seen a really dirty river before? Yeah, I've been to India, and some of those rivers, like, stuff's growing on them. They're so mucky and dirty, and you don't want to. And the kids are just in there swimming. I'm like, I wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. But the kids are all, and they're okay with it because they're used to it, I guess. But Naaman's like, I'm a distinguished general. Why would I go in this river and swim? The Jordan River? This dirty Jordan River? No way. And then in verse 12 he says, Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus be better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned away and went away in a rage. So he was angry. He says, you know what? Who's this prophet think he's doing? He thinks he's going to boss me around? Is he just trying to make fun of me? But no, he had the word from the Lord. The prophet had the word of the Lord, and he said, you do it this way. You know what? We're going to tie this into the gospel. Because the Bible says that there is only one way to get to heaven. That is through Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to God but by me. And sometimes people think, yeah, I want to have my sins washed away. I want to be a Christian. There's a lot of good things about Christianity. But I want to do it on my own terms. I want to come to God my own way. So, some people think, well, all the kids are in Sunday school in the front row. Okay, I'll do that too. I'm going to go to Sunday school. I'm going to memorize my verse. I'm going to try to be nice to my brothers and sisters. I'm going to, you know, help my parents, you know, say my pleases and thank yous and your welcomes. And I'll be a good enough person. Because I'm not a bad person. You know, there's a lot of bad kids that play in the park, but I'm not like them. I'm a good kid. And we think, well, by doing that, we'll be good enough for heaven. I'm telling you, that doesn't work. If you're going to come to Jesus, it's only by one way. It's by admitting you're a sinner that you need to be saved. Naaman had to come to a point when he realized the only way for him to be clean, to be have his leprosy taken away, was by obeying what the prophet said. And today, we have something even more important than what the prophet said. We have the Word of God. And the Word of God says certain things about what it means to be saved. And so we're going to go through that in a few minutes. But let's keep going in our chapter, okay? Naaman says, this is not socially acceptable. I do not want to go in this river. But then, his servant comes and talks to him and speaks the sense into him. And so Danny, could you read verse 13, please?
And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet has bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean?
So the servants knew Naaman, and they talked to him politely. They weren't mad with him. They were very nice to him, because, you know, Naaman, if he says you're dead, you're dead. So they were very calm and very patient. Said, Naaman, if the prophet said to do something really big, like, you know, give a lot of money or go do like some heroic thing, you'd have done it. Because you want to act in your own strength, because you're a strong general, right? This Naaman guy, he's a strong man. But he says, but what? This is something so simple. Why can't you just do it? And so Naaman's like, you know, it's worth a shot. He had to humble himself. And what does it say here in verse 14? Who can read verse 14 for us? Eric, in the back row.
And went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan. Look at the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child. And he was clean.
That's right. He obeyed the word of God. He obeyed the word of the prophet, and he was healed. You know, it reminds me of in the first couple of chapters of the Bible, there's a story of Cain and Abel. Abel offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and the Lord accepted the sacrifice. Cain said, you know what, I'm going to do things my own way. I'm going to bring my own works, my own fruits, and therefore I will be acceptable to God. And that's the religion of man. That's saying, I'm going to come to God by my own methods, by my own way. But that's not the way to go. And so this man dipped Naaman seven times, took 7 baths. He went in, Bob got out, went in and back, in and out 6 times. And the 7th time, he was healed. He obeyed the word of the Lord, and he was healed. You know, this was an obedience, and there was blessing. And did it cost him anything? Did he have to pay all those? Remember, he came with all that gold, all those horses and all that stuff? Did he have to pay for that? No, he didn't. Let's read verse 16. Sorry, verse 15. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company, and stood before him. And he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, as the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged to take it. He refused. The man of God said, no, you don't pay for this. This is not a transaction. It's a free gift. You don't have to earn your way to be healed. And it's the same with the gospel. You know, we talk about the gospel very often. You kids, I'm sure, are all part of a Sunday school, right? In your own assembly. You all hear the word of God a lot. And you know, that's good. And one thing that we often, your Sunday schools will stress, is that the gospel is free. It doesn't cost anything. It's a gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so Naaman says, look, what do I owe you for this? The fact that you healed me. He says, no, it's free. There's nothing that he could do to earn that free gift, to earn being healed. And this morning, when you're sitting in your chair, there's nothing that you can do to earn God's gift. It's a free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I want to stress a point. At St. Thomas Conference, I spoke to some kids in the kids' room on one of the long meetings. And I said, are you kids good or bad? And I was surprised. A lot of the kids said that they were good kids. And that they weren't bad. And that the gospel was more for the bad kids. But they were good, so therefore they didn't need it as much. And so I want to just make sure everyone knows this, that I'm not a good person. I'm a sinner, but I've been washed by the blood of Christ. And if you're, and every one of you in this room have to make, come to that point when you realize that you cannot save yourself. That your good works, that all the things that you can do to get to heaven are not good enough. Only one way to get to heaven. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. In 1 John it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus Christ came on the cross. When he came to the earth to die, he came and he died on the cross. We all know about that story, right? How many people were on the cross with Jesus? There's three guys, right?
No, there's
two and Jesus, right? Two bad guys? Yeah, two bad guys. And Jesus in the middle. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for every single sin that you committed. Every bad thought, every bad word, every stolen cookie, every extra time on the computer that you weren't supposed to be on, every bad thing that you could have done, Jesus paid for your sin. But he says, you have to believe that what I did was enough. You have to accept this free gift. I have a gift for you guys in a few minutes. I have some pens from Africa with nice carvings on them, okay? And everyone's going to get one. Actually, the children will get one. I only have, I think, 13. If you don't get one, I'll try to get you one later. But this is a gift. It's a free gift for you. It doesn't cost you anything. All you have to do is receive it. And it's the same thing with the gospel. Jesus says, come unto me. You have to accept what the Lord Jesus Christ did in order to be saved. You know, we don't have that much time, but we're just going to go on in this chapter and talk about Gehazi. I don't even know how to say his name. Later on in the chapter, Elisha had a servant. How do you say his name? Someone help me with his name.
Gehazi,
yes. No one has a friend named Gehazi, probably, no? No, we don't use that word. No, Gehazi, he was an assistant. He was a servant to Elisha. And he saw Elisha didn't accept any gift. He says, you know what? I'm going to go get something. So he makes up a story. He goes out and he lies. And he gets some raiment, gets some money from Naaman and tries to sneak it back. But Elisha, this guy's smart. He knew a lot of stuff. He knew that what Gehazi was doing. And what happened was Gehazi got the leprosy that Naaman had. Gehazi, you know, this is something that really actually that I'm worried about. Is God, people, could you be like Gehazi? Now let me explain. You're with Elisha. This Gehazi was with Elisha. He knew all these things Elisha was doing. He knew the power that was in Elisha, but he never really believed it for himself. And you know, I know that because I've been there too. At a certain point in my life, I sat in the front row like you guys. Only a few years ago, I'm not that old. And I listened to these stories, I knew the Bible verses, I knew the songs, I knew all this stuff, but I wasn't real in my heart. I never actually believed it for myself. And it took one time, when I was about 9 or 10 years old, when I really had to come realize, yeah, E.T. is a sinner. E.T. needs a Savior. It's not a question about being better than my friend, about knowing more verses than my sister. No, it's that I need a Savior. That I need to be washed by the blood of Christ, and that I cannot save myself. And that is essential. Because we talked earlier about that song, a little child of 7 or even 3 or 4 may enter into heaven through Christ the open door. There's not, whenever you can understand, if you today you understand the message, if you understand enough, if I say, do you want to receive this free gift, and you say yes, you're responsible. You're responsible for your own salvation. You know, if the Lord were to come today, you can't hold your parents' hands, they won't bring you up to heaven. Everyone is individually responsible. We're not made to be robots. We each have a will. We each have an opinion on things. We each have to make our own decisions. Today is a day of salvation. If you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. Because the wages of sin is death. And what is death? If you die today in your sins, where do you go?
Hell.
Is hell a good or bad place?
Bad.
It's a bad place. It's a terrible place. It's not only a fact that you will be suffering eternally, but you're going to remember. You're going to remember those times that you sat in Sunday school, or you sat at home, and your parents talked to you about the Word of God, and you just were saying, yeah, some other day I'll listen to this, or some other day I'll think about this message, some other day I'll decide to be a Christian, or maybe you just thought you were a good enough person. But you'll remember all those times that you could have believed and didn't, but it'll be too late. It's too late. Today is a day of salvation. And so today, if you are a Christian, that's great. You can be like this little girl, this little missionary girl. We don't know how old she was. She was a little maid. She went and she told Naaman, or Naaman's wife, about the man in Israel. And today, we can tell about someone who's greater than the man of Israel, in Israel. We can tell our friends. We can tell our families about Jesus Christ. You know, my grandpa is not a believer. All my aunts and uncles are not believers. My dad and mom are the only believers in their families. And we get to see our aunts and uncles and cousins often. And we pray for opportunities to share Christ with them because we love them. We don't want them going to hell. And it's really sad that they don't want to believe. But you know, you guys have friends. You guys have, I mean, you got a lot of you guys are raised in Christian homes with Christian grandparents and Christian uncles and aunts. That's really great. It's really important that you continue to grow in your faith. And you can share the things of God, even a verse, or you can even share the story of Naaman with your friend in school. That way you can be a witness too. You don't have to go to Africa or go to China or go somewhere else to be a missionary. You could be a missionary in your own school. You could be a missionary in your own neighborhood. You could be a missionary in the schoolyard, in the gym, whenever you play with your friends. Whenever you share with your friends, whenever you let other people go first in line, whenever you're helpful, you're encouraging people, they'll say, why is that kid different? Why is he not like all the other people? No, you can be a missionary at a young age. We're all called to serve in our own way. You know, soon the Lord will come, and He's going to reward us for all the things that we've done for Him. And maybe today the Lord Jesus will come from heaven. Are you ready? Are you ready? As you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our time is up, and my voice is almost gone, so that's a sign that time closed the meeting. So we're going to pray. But as you pray, if you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do so. Today is the day of salvation. You can say, you know what? Lord Jesus, I need a Savior. I'm like Naaman. I have this leprosy that I can't remove on my own. I need to be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I pray that today no one leaves this room without accepting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we come to Thee this morning. Thank You for this free gift of salvation through the Lord Jesus. I pray for every young boy and every girl, every heart in this room. I pray that there might not be anyone that is still saying no. The free gift of salvation. I pray that there might be joy in heaven today over one sinner that repents. I pray that these young men and young women here in the front rows can just grow up to be those who serve You, that are missionaries in their neighborhoods, in their schoolyards, with their families. I pray we might all, those of us who are a bit older, realize that every day You invite us to walk with You, Lord. I pray that we might walk and seek to serve You where You placed us. We commit these things in the worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I have pens here. So ladies first.
If you're under 13, you're welcome to come get a pen.